Praise God. And it's an exciting, exciting class this week. It's really a wonderful, wonderful class, a wonderful lesson, I should say. It's a wonderful class having you all too. Thank you so very much. We have four or five guests on who are with Elder Seals this morning on the AJS Ministry Bible class, the series on Smith's Wigglesworth in our 10th week. And I did go through the book, you guys, and there are a couple chapters I can put together because two of them only have four pages, and I'm going to put those two together so we may be able to shave one of those weeks off. And so I'm going to send you out a syllabus for the rest of the week. And if I get a chance to clean up my first five pages of five lesson plans, I'll send you those later. But I had already, what you've been getting for the last, I think since week six, I've had that since day one. But I want to clean it up a little bit because I had stuff written all over it on the typing that I did. But God bless you all. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you every day, every week, every second of the day for what you're doing, God, for how you keep on blessing us and making a way out of no way and opening doors, healing and delivering. And we take this word seriously, God. We come with humble hearts, oh God. We come with sincerity of heart. We come, oh God, bow down before you to worship and adore you, to reverence the holiness of your word. By faith, we hear and know now, God. It's not just faith that heareth. It's not just a seed, but the seed is God's word. And God, because it is your word and it manifests and everything that was made without hands, it's invisible. So if we can trust and believe in the miracles and the resurrection, the crucifixion, the grave and the resurrection, hallelujah, that you even took the keys from Satan out of hell, oh God, and said, oh death, where is your sting? So God, we thank you right now that you put power in each one of the vessels that are on this line. I thank you for Brother Clarence and Sister Willa May and Sister Emma Ross and Sister Charlie May. I thank you, God, for the blessings of the Lord that maketh thee rich and addeth no sorrow. May you continue to just lift their spirits and their countenance every day, every second of the day. God, even when they get low, let us call on the name of Jesus. Satan, we rebuke you because God has given us power. And we're standing on the solid rock today, brothers and sisters in Christ, to know that this word is real. I bless over my wife, Elder Jennifer Seals, who's traveling right now and will be on the road again tomorrow, leaving out of town. So we just bless her and travel in mercy for the family she's going to be with. And congratulations to my daughter-in-law who's getting her attorney's degree. So we thank you for the law degree. Praise God. God bless everybody. Hallelujah. I am excited about what's going on in this lesson this week. There's so much to unwind. I'm going to let you get a chance to take a look at that real quick and pray that you can open up everything and everybody's got their copies open. It is a lot, but it's a great lesson today because the hour has come. That word woke me up, by the way, brothers and sisters in Christ, literally woke me up. 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and I heard in my spirit, the hour is come. And so I'm going to also send you another document that I put together that's called the seed, the word, the seed of God's word that, excuse me, I've been working on as we've been teaching on this. And it has been such a blessing to understand how this word of God is moving in your life, in my life, in our lives. And it's so powerful that I think the world misses it. I don't think we really understand the power of what God is able to do through us and in us if we would only yield to his way. And so I'm praying that each of you will be blessed, and those who are listening to this lesson, knowing that God can work it all out for his glory. If you hear some noise in the background, that's because I have to reset the printer. And it's printing my rest of my lesson out. But let's go to page 115 as we open up the book today. The hour's come. And I want to spend some time purposely looking at what he's saying, because I think this is a turning point for me in the lesson and the teaching. And I hope you feel the same way, that he's saying, yes, I believe And we've been talking about believing in God and believing in Christ and believing in the power of his word for the last 6 weeks, 10 weeks. We have spent hours just talking about the importance of who Jesus is in our lives and understanding that this word of God doesn't just come because we say it. You can read it as a place where Smith Wigglesworth says, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to hold it. It's another thing to get it in you. And so we want just to manifest in us. And you notice I'm saying in us, because I need this word to come alive in me just as well as you, as the instructor, facilitator, learner, student that you have to be in order to even teach this. You can't do this just willy-nilly and think that it's going to all come together because you just looked at the scriptures. God doesn't work that way in this word. And so I want to encourage you to know that all of this material that you've been reading is strictly biblical text that has come alive in each one of us. And I my prayer is that it will manifest his glory. The other piece I'm going to send you is called The Word of God is a Seed. And today I want to open up with the teaching of this lesson where it says that, yes, I believe, I hope that our hearts and our minds might come to that place of understanding where we realize that it is possible for God to take all of our human weaknesses and our failures and transform us by his mighty power into a new creature, if only we can believe. And so last week we talked about this whole notion of believing. Can we believe? And so if you look at Mark 5 and 36 again, he says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he's talking about Jairus. So what I did was two things today that I want to get through to help us understand just how powerful this word is of God, the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so we have learned through time that Paul also teaches us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so we go on to study about the word of God, which is Yahweh, which was so there was so much reverence to the holiness of God that it's called the tetragrammaton or tetragrams. And the meaning was it consisted of four letters. And so they did not want to pronounce the word Jehovah and Yahweh because they reverenced the holiness of God so much. And so it's called tetragrammatons or tetragram. And it's four letters, and you've seen it before, YHWH, which is the Greek interpretation of Yahweh, the name of God of Israel. And so the word is the word of God who created all the earth and the heavens, the moon and the stars, and everything that's created. If you go back and look at Colossians 1 and 16, you don't have this right in front of you, but I'm reading it. For in him were all things created. And the reason I want us to capture this, and please make this on the side note, I'll send you this later. I'm adding to it next week, and I'll send it to you. But I want you to get this, because everything that we've seen that we believe in by faith, you're believing by God. The mystery is, even if you think you understand it, it's only because God has allowed you to understand. Because if you look it up in the scripture, he says, I've given you the servants, the stewards of the kingdom. You're proprietors. I created you to be stewards of the kingdom of God. I have revealed to those who have an ear to hear and a heart that's sincere that God says he hears the prayers of the diligent, those that are diligently seeking him. He knows your heart. And so he reveals and enlightens his word, the seed of his word, the manifestation of his word, the revelation of what he really wants us to know. And that's why sometimes you can read these scriptures in this text, in this book, and every time you open up the scriptures, you'll get a deeper understanding or new revelations or an enlightening that helps you to apply it in your life in a better way. And so he says that for in him were all things created. And if you go to verse 17, he says, and he is before all things. So you can't say, well, when did he begin? There was no beginning and there is no ending of God. And so you have to believe this by faith, because you can't see God. You just have to believe in your heart that what we're teaching and what we're learning is by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you are both spirit and physical. So you are been in you is the spirit. You're a tabernacle, you're a tent. You have a meeting place with God. And so I just want to take us back for just a minute to understand that this word is the seed of God, as it says in as a parable in Luke 8 and 11. Why is that relevant for today's teaching? It's relevant because God says the parables which come alongside to give an illustration of both the physical and the natural, the earthly story and the heavenly meaning. It is used to give you an ideal or to set a spiritual truth alongside your daily living. But for those who have ears, they can hear. But those who don't believe, because of the enmity in our minds, we've all experienced this, that we could read Smith Wigglesworth 100 times and never believe anything unless the Lord quickens our spirit, because he knows and knows our hearts, that we desire to know more about the power of his word, and that you have to, he can trust you. And so part of the learning on this lesson today is, can he trust us with his word? And I believe you and believe in you that are on this line, you're taking time out because you're desiring something more from God that I can't give you, but the Holy Spirit is giving it to you. It's quickening you. So Jesus is teaching us to parables which are likened to the seeds of a sower. And I've started discovering, you all, that you are the farmers. You are the sowers, because it says, go into all the world and spread the gospel and to baptize and to teach. And so what are you doing when you go out and you're spreading the word? You're actually sowing the seeds in the word of God. Amen. And so that's a parable, because people are like, what is that? What is he talking about? You have to understand that some rocks, and we get into that a little bit, not too much, but some seeds fall on good ground. It says, behold, and make this a note for your studies later, Mark 4:3-8, because this is going to help us understand as we get further into this chapter today about the hour. The hour is now. That's a seed. That's a word. That's a revelation. That's a prophecy that God is saying, right now is the time. Now faith, now faith, now faith. Right now is the time. Every day of your life is the right now moment, because we don't know when someone, I'm going to pray for the Smith family. Curtis Smith passed away, an older gentleman I know, not that much older than me, but he passed away suddenly yesterday, and I got the call, but I want to lift up the Smith family and the McKay family, and especially little Chris and his daughter. But I just want you all to hear, and the grandchildren, I want you to hear this parable. Behold, the word went out, and the sower sowed. Some sowed on and fell on the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on, and some fell on among thorns, but then some fell on good ground. And so you can read that those parables, the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed that grows, and the parable of the mustard seed. And the mustard seed, by the way, that little bitty tiny seed that he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, what shall we say this kingdom of God? You can look this up in Mark 4:30-32. If you get your Bible out, follow along with me. You can read this, Mark 4:32. Let me know if anybody's doing that. I'll slow down for just a moment, because I think it's important that you can hear and see what I'm talking about here, because it is such a lesson in itself. To hear what Smith Wigglesworth is really teaching us about this word. And so he's saying to us that in Mark 4:30-32, the parable of the growing seed, and this seed is your faith in hearing God. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17. But here in Mark 4:32, he says again, Mark 4:30, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Did you all hear that? The seed that we've been talking about, the size of a pinhead or a needlehead, is like a seed, which is the smallest seed in all the earth. That's God's word. When he planted this word, it grows. His word grew. His thoughts expanded beyond anything we could ever imagine. And that's what God wants us to do, is get out of sight of ourselves so that he can set us in a place that this word becomes so alive that we become transformed and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, because by your faith, when the word gets planted in you, when you're planting the word of God into other people, God is strengthening you and people around you. It grows and it becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds perch in it for shade. With many small or similar parables, Jesus spoke of the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them about without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciple, he explained things. The Holy Spirit will explain things when you're in prayer or after your period of meditation. He will begin to explain things to you to help you have a fresh revelation of the power of his might and his glory that's within you. He'll give you a new song to sing. He'll lift up your countenance in the midst of your storms. There's something that quickens inside of you. We say something, but it's the Holy Spirit. The hour has come. The hour is right now. Because what is faith? It's God's word, which is always present. Because he says in Romans 10 and 8, that I am nigh thee, even before you confess my name, even before you confess believing in your heart, that even before you got saved, I've always been there. Hallelujah. And so what Smith Wigglesworth is talking about is he's taking us, now let's look at Isaiah, and I'm going to go back to page one on your handout, but I want to skip down real quick. I think I put Isaiah 9 and 6 in here. Yes, it's on page 3 on the top. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the kind of God we serve, a God who's wonderful. He's your counselor. He's the almighty God, the everlasting God, the Prince of Peace. God is a rose of Sharon. He has a beautiful, sweet smell about him, a sweet presence about him. He's a mighty warrior, the commander in chief. So I'm trying to get us to understand when we're dealing with this word, we're talking about the reverence and the holiness of who God is in our lives, and that he is the majesty. He is the glory. And we should worship and adore him, reverence his holiness, because that's what Smith Wigglesworth had gotten to, this place of reverence and of the holiness of God, that he believed so much in the power of God. And so where it says in the scripture, in the books, rather, on page 113, he said, when we do, he will fill us. What inspiration it is to give God the supreme place in your life. In our lives, if we open up and just give it all over to Jesus, to give it all over, because Jesus is God. He's the living Son of God, the triune God, the Holy Spirit. And so he says, when you give up of yourself and let me in, when you do all of this, eventually he knows the sincerity of his heart. I can't tell you when or how. I can just tell you that he knows the sincerity of your heart. That seed of the word grows and becomes stronger than any other thing that you could eat, any other plant that you could to digest, any other thoughts that you could come up with. Greater than the word of God, there is none other. And that strengthens us just to think of what would happen if we dare to believe God. If you dare to believe that I am healed of this dizziness, if you dare to believe that God, that this hour, this very moment, is doing something special in our lives, hallelujah. And that's why I even took this chapter and broke it down from last week to this week and looking at Mark as Jesus is our deliverer. Look at the page, your handout on page 1, top of page 1. It says scripture reading, when you pray, have faith to believe on page 113. Because he's saying again, and I share every week, you can start studying this lesson at verse 10, verse 1. Anywhere you go in this book, you're going to always hear Smith Wigglesworth and us talking about, can you believe? Do you believe? Yes. You know, you got to get to the place where you're saying, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. in spite of the devil, in spite of what the negativity and all the stuff that's on television, nevertheless, I believe, God. I believe you. I believe that there's power in the name of Jesus. And so here we now, I'm going to take you through a step a little bit off the book for just a minute. Last week, we talked about Jesus, the deliverer, the healer. He delivered the demonic man. That was in Mark 5, 1 through 20. But there's several things that happen in Mark that he's demonstrating the power of God's word if you can only believe. And I think it's an excellent illustration because he again comes to it at the beginning of this chapter, only believe, except this time he's down at chapter 36. But I want you to look at Mark 5, 21 to 23. And I gave you some cross references. He says the healing of Jairus, the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he was like a lay priest. He wasn't the priest. He wasn't the governor, but he worked in the synagogue, and he had a position of authority and responsibility. And so people looked up to him, and he came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, help me. My daughter is sick." And so when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered around him. And so Jairus came to him. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, last week we talked about the demon that had that whose name was Legion. He bowed at Jesus' feet. There's a difference between bowing and reverencing God in your bow. You can bow and not be sincere. People can be around you because they want something from you. Doesn't mean that they love you. That doesn't mean they respect you. They just see something that's about you. And you have to be careful in this word, because even the lesson today teaches us that Jesus says, be aware of those who will turn against you. And even those that he was around, like Peter, turned against Jesus and denied him. And so we can never get to the place that we think we're so great in our knowledge of God that we are not reverencing the presence and humbling ourselves and saying, God, I sincerely repent. God, give me a contrite heart. I'm heartily sorry, God. It grieves me to even think about sinning against you. Well, we get to that place where we just want the more of Jesus. And so here we have in this story in verse 21, when Jesus passed over again into the ship. And remember how it was a miracle, because part of the story is after he fed the 3,000 and 5,000, he goes into the mountain. But the disciples get in the ship and they get out on the water and they see Jesus walking in the water. And immediately after that, they're on shore. So there's some things that God can do so quickly in your life to take you out of the hedges and hide you under the shadow of his wings and move you to a place of peace and quiet and open doors of opportunities that you can never dreamt would happen. So the parable of this word is the seed that becomes alive in you. The word has to come alive because Jesus is the word and Jesus is life. God is life. God is light. God is love. And so as we go down to verse Mark 5, 24, and then he says, as he's going to see about the daughter that's sick, she hadn't died yet, she's just sick. But on the way, Jesus heals the woman with the blood issue. And, you know, we hear this story an awful lot. And we thank God for the story because of the depth of what he's saying, that even in your suffering, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but I deliver you. Here we have a woman that suffered for 12 years, used up all her money. But what saved her wasn't just because she was in the presence of God. It was the sincerity of her heart, which was rooted in the faith to believe that she came expecting God to heal her. Not in her mind, but in her spirit. So Jesus heals the woman, but let's read this, Mark. Has anybody got their Bible open with me? If somebody else want to read this, please do. Mark 5, 24 to 35. If somebody's got that, please chime in. I can't see your faces today, so if anybody could take their phone off mute and read a little bit.
And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, what measure you measure.
Which, where are you?
I'm sorry, 524.
Yeah.
5:24, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and crowded him. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse.
Mm.
When she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. Mm. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be well.
Yes.
And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Continue.
No, go. Yes, ma'am, continue.
And his disciples 35. Said unto him, thou seest the multitude crowding thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee well.
Amen.
Mm. Go in peace and be well of thy plague.
Did you catch that? Did everybody get that? What did he tell her? He said, by your what? By your faith.
Your faith.
Amen. By your faith. That faith. So let's go through a little quick exercise. And so what is Jesus saying to us then? That by your faith, you are healed. By your faith. What's another way of saying that? By the word of God that you believe that I'm healed. By the word of God. Because we know that the seed, we know that the word is the seed, and the seed is the word of God. And the seed and the word cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And believing in your spirit, in your heart, your mind, and your soul. And so here we have this story and this elevation of saving grace. That this woman who was afraid to even, he said, who touched me? And the disciples noticed, the disciples were astounded. People were astounded when Wigglesworth was healing people. There were people that were beginning to criticize him and slander him and wanting to persecute him and even arrest him. So what I'm coming to tell you is that you're a peculiar treasure. You're peculiar because you're believing in the impossible. You, whose report do you believe? Did you just believe what the doctors tell us? And we have to use godly wisdom for this, because God has given the doctors knowledge and the right medicines and the right treatment and the nurses and the specialists. But God is the balm of Gilead. He is the chief surgeon. And sometimes we have to trust God more than we do. Let me rephrase that. Not sometimes. We got to grow to trust God first. Because he'll give you discerning grace of when to even know to go to God, when to come to him, what to come to him for, how to hold on when nothing seems to be working and things look so dark. When you're the weakest, sometimes that's when God oftentimes in my life shows up. Thank you for that reading, Sister Emma. Because I wanted you all to hear that even when you're working with people. And I don't know how many of you teach the word or preach the word or minister to people outside your family or even minister to your family. Sometimes you can feel so drained. You can feel so after you pray sometimes, especially if you've been praying a while, you can feel just sometimes I feel in bold and charged up. But oftentimes, especially if there's a lot of pain and suffering going on, you feel the agony of people, and the word of God quickens us, and it's stronger than just your natural body. And so you have to really allow God to refresh and restore you, because the enemy will attack you, because he's showing us in the word that even his disciples said, out of all these people, you concerned about who's touching you? And I want you to know that when you're in this word and in this seed, the power of God's word is working through you, that God will reveal things to you, but you must get the rest. You must have a balance. You must believe God that you're not, it's not you. It's not me. It's the Spirit of God. So the next part of this particular aspect of the lesson is we go to another aspect or another portion of the reading of this, which is really amazing to me. That so we get past this, we come to the point where now at verse 36, Jesus discerns. And I'm looking at what Smith Wigglesworth is saying to us. Is that just think of what would happen if only we dare to believe. When we dare to believe God by faith, to hear, to trust his word, to trust the invisibility of what he's able to do. The miracles are not magicians that are soothsayers, necromizers who come up with studying the dead and all that. This is truly of the Spirit of God, the holiness of God, the revelation of God's word that comes alive in you. That the discerning gifts that we're talking about, Jesus discerned, that he says, I've given you the gifts to discern. I've given you the ability to hear my voice. You got it. So if you hear his voice, what are you hearing? Can somebody answer that? Anybody? If you're hearing his voice, what are you hearing?
The word.
The word. Thank you. You're hearing the word. My God. So if you're hearing the word, Kathy Williams, Mr. Kathy Williams, she on there. I see Mr. Kathy and Sister Willamay and Sister Charlamay. Can you hear the word and it does something to you, Brother Clarence Brown, and just make you feel better when you say the word and you know it's Jesus talking to you? He said, I want you to hear me. And as soon as Jesus heard the word, as soon as you, I want you to put your name in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard, as soon as Anton, as soon as Charlie May, as soon as Clarence Brown hear the word, as soon as Emma hears the word, as soon as Charlie May hear the word, as soon as Mr. Kathy Wynn hear the word, something happens inside of you. Did you hear me? That God has spoken to you because he loved you so much. He died on Calvary for you and I. And he said unto the ruler, hey, he said unto us, oh my God. Oh, thank you. Be not afraid, yes, shut up all. Only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe that my word is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or even think, because I am God. Ooh, y'all forgive me if I get a little emotional today, but hallelujah. Can you believe that I spoke to you, that I delivered you, that I healed you, that I used you to be a blessing to somebody else, that I saved your life, that I snatched you out of the miry clay, I snatched you back from the branding iron, I broke every yoke and every fetter, I broke away your depressions, and I set your mind free and your heart free, and the devil can't do nothing about it. Hallelujah. He can't come in unless you let him in. Hallelujah. And he suffered no man to follow him. You got to get in a place where you're following Jesus. You got to be careful who's the company around you. That's verse 37. He suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and his brother James. There are times, brothers and sisters, when this word is moving in your life that he's going to separate you from other people. Maybe for a season, maybe permanent. That doesn't mean death all the time either. But people come into our lives for different purposes. And oftentimes, if it's something very, it's usually something very powerful comes out of it. Even if it's a rough lesson, if it's a if it's a tumult, if it's a grievance, if it's a pain, a broken heart, it made me fall in love with Jesus more. I was telling my wife this morning how much I love my grandfather. He was a much older man. He was 81 when he was born in 1900. His father's Bible said he was born in 1890, which would have meant he was 60 years old when I was born. But he died at 81 or 91, depends on what Bible story you look at. I believe it was 91 because his wisdom was not beyond the years. And I was telling my wife how the word of God covered him all those years. You brothers and sisters that don't know that you didn't have to pee in the cup in the car. You didn't have to get out, and your wives didn't have to get out, and your daughters didn't have to get out, and your mamas didn't have to get out the car and have to go to the bathroom and go in the weeds because you couldn't go into the restaurants because people who love God hated you because of the color of your skin. Yet God says, I heard your voice calling my name. Did you hear me calling you? Can you believe that even though the world hates you, that I still love you and I've given you power to overcome? And then he says in verse 39, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel. this is not a woman of substance. He refers to her just a common woman. And he says, she's not dead, she's asleep. It reminds me of the story of Ezekiel. I think it's chapter 34 or 37, where he tells Ezekiel, what's going on with these bones? He says, God, you know. He says, speak to the bone. God is telling you. He's telling you, Clarence, speak to the dead bones. Now, these were some real dead bones, but he was talking about another parable. And it was Old Testament, so he didn't call it parables. But it was a parable in a sense because people thought it was really just about the dead. But it wasn't just about the dead. It was about the dead walking dead. So he made them become new creatures because he said that the skin came back on the bones. So God was miraculously raising up dead folks, but also raising up the walking dead that are in our communities that are dying from COVID and are being healed, have been on ventilators, and God delivered you off a ventilator, delivered you out of heart surgery, delivered you out of cancer, delivered and gave you another kidney. Whatever it was that God did, he did it for his glory, that you could go and tell people about his story and the miracles that he's able to do because you believed in your heart. Even when you didn't really know what was going on, you didn't realize you had that kind of thing because it wasn't about your mental state, it was about your heart. And you don't know your heart like God knows your heart. It's not a shot that they say, and people laugh at you because you're different. Verse 40, when he put them all out, put people out of your lives and they don't believe in what you believe. Don't be cruel and mean. But he says sometimes you got to knock the dust off your heels and go there no more. You can't keep being letting people abuse and misuse you out of just because you're trying to make a point. No, that's ego. That's pride. God will let you know because when you're listening for his word, he'll teach you. And he put us this all aside. He's telling you, Smith Wigglesworth is telling us, do this as often as you do. If you can remember who I am. The having the Last Supper with Jesus, it wasn't about anything else but the transformation of Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who died on Calvary, and his name was Jesus, and you suffered some things, and your name is one of these names on this call today, or somebody that's listening in. Sister Kathy, you've been there. Willa Mae, you've been there. Sister Emma, you've been there. Sister Charlie Mae, Brother Clarence, you've been there. We've all been there to that place. But God said he healed you, delivered you, fixed your marriages, fixed your finances. Clarence, you always praying that the debt elimination will come. And I'm believing you, brother. I'm believing that God is healing marriages. I'm believing God for the breakthrough, the financial breakthroughs. I'm believing God for the new opportunities.
opportunities and doors to open for people that are in need, the people in rich countries that are suffering, that God miraculously turn countries around, turn America around from the wickedness that's in the land right now, that we won't see it anymore. It'll disappear, it'll dry up. The wickedness of the land will take a change because of the prayers of the righteous. Hallelujah. I know people say this is the end of the times are here. Well, they've been saying that for 2,000 plus years. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I just want y'all to know I love God. And I say unto you, arise. I say to every one of you, rise up out of your circumstances. Rise up out of everything. He said, whatsoever you believe, speak to that mountain. The mountain is an example, illustration, an allegory, symbolic of whatever's in your way that's holding you back that you've not let go of. Let it go and let God. He said, let it go and be astonished at the greater works that I can use you to do, because I transform you from your weakness and your failures to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Number three on page two. Wigglesworth Trans says, God transforms your weaknesses. They thought the girl was dead. She was 12 years old. So God, I'm asking you to raise up our children out of this conundrum of hate, this evil that's in our land. God, put us special heads around all of our children on this phone, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. God, cover them, cover our seeds, oh God. I beseech you, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. See, this is the word of God, that you not be conformed to the things of this world, wanting things and don't want Jesus. That's why the world is facing what it's facing, because he said, I beseech you, I'm calling on you. My word is spreading all over the world, and I'm singing and hollering and preaching my word. I got people and prophets all over the place, and they won't tell my story. Get away from your selfishness and get away from your pride, Anton, and use the word of God is my armament, for it is not you, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy and acceptable God. Holy and acceptable is his word. That's what that stands for. He said that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't bring me no money. Don't bring me nothing else if you don't give me your heart first. Ooh, Jesus. What is your reasonable service? Your time, your talents, and your treasures. Giving all to God. Be not conformed to this world. He said, I'm going to renew you. This is what Smith Wigglesworth is saying. In spite of what you've been through in this life, have faith to believe in God. And truly, I tell you anything. I'm verse number four. Go down to number four. Mark 11, 23 and 4. Have faith in God. Here it is again. Truly, I tell you. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt, but believes. And what I'm saying, believe is not just a mental thing. This is believing with sincerity in your heart that God knows that what they say will happen and it will be done. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe it, that you receive it and you will have it. It will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anybody, one of the prerequisites of serving God is to forgive. Because if you can't forgive someone else, God is not going to forgive you. It says it right here. Mark 11, 25, when standing, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, that your sin and your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe. Again, here's that word. Believe. 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 Let's go down to page three. We read 9 and 6 Isaiah, so let's go to the Lord's Supper. Has anybody got any questions or comments? I'll stop for a second. We only got 10 more minutes. Do this in remembrance of me. is the Lord's Supper on page 113 through 15, 1 Corinthians 11:25. For I have received the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, and take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is God's word. This is seed of his word. This is who God is. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God that came as a visible, invisible God with the name of Jesus, that imputed himself into flesh, made himself flesh, created himself to look like you and I in the name of Jesus. And after this manner, he took the cup. And I remember as a kid, I said, I ain't drinking no blood. What's wrong with these people? I didn't understand the parable. I didn't understand the example, relationship of the cup and the bread and the blood representing the cup of sacrifice, that Jesus became the sacrifice. This cup is the New Testament. So now we know that the cup is the New Testament. He calls it the cup because that's what it is. It's the presence of God. Again, an illustration of how God gives relationship to who he is. And in the cup is my blood. In the bread, the manna from heaven is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the cup. You need to drink from this water. Drink of this water. This do ye as often as you drink, and drink it in remembrance of me. So what he's saying to you and I is that his word. And notice under number B, where it says the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. Wigglesworth said that God wants you to remember. And Peter, Paul, the disciples, the gospels, the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are different than John. But the point is that God is saying to us, the Lord's Supper, his crucifixion, the grave, and his resurrection. But he does not want you to remember the suffering of Jesus on the cross. He wants you to remember that to suffer, and let me rephrase that, because you're going to suffer. If you follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. You're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer because he doesn't want you to live on the cross. He knows it's painful to carry the cross. He carried it. He knows it's painful to be rejected and you've done nothing wrong to people. That you've been working 30, 40 years and you train other people of different persuasions, younger than you, don't know nothing. You didn't train them and you get fired. You didn't raise them and fed them and they wind up hating you. But God says, I know all this. But can you believe God? Jesus said, it's finished. I'm saying to you and I today that our pain, that we suffer in sometimes, the mental anguish, God, I rebuke it in Jesus' name, devil. And we call forth your presence, God, to cast out every demonic thoughts, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, root it out of us, God. Snatch it out of us, oh God. Eradicate it, clean it out of us, oh God. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. And fill us with your love, your joy, your peace. For the strength of the Lord is my strength. You are my high tower, and I hide in your presence because your word says I can hide under the shadow of your wings, in the presence of your tabernacle. He hides us. John teaches us in John 19 and 30, Jesus says, after he received the bitterness, the vinegar, after he received some bitterness, just say it's finished. I don't have to take this no more. I don't have to even hate you. I don't have to do none of this ugly stuff anymore because I believe in the love of God and I forgive you because God says, if I forgive you, it'll be like hurling hot fires upon you because I love God so much. He'll fight my battles. He gave me a new song, song that I can sing, a song that I can sing in today's Shadadigosanabos. Ye shut down that into your suffering, your glory. I can sing it in tongues. I can sing it in love. I can sing it with my heart because it's a seed of God that's quickening each one of you, that you can do marvelous works in the presence of God. If you only believe, it is finished, because the hour has come and it's a new day, because I've given you a new song, and that song is the name of Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I will trust you and not be afraid, God, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He is my song. Jesus, 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 nothing but Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus all about my story, all about my pain. He's the only one that really understand, but he gives us peace in the midst of our pain. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. You're drawing faith and word out of God's word that gives you the salvation, meaning that you've been set apart, that you don't have to live in your miseries every day and play these mental mind games that our mind takes us through. Because of the power of God down on the inside of you, he refreshes you and says, I'm not finished with you. There's so much more. Sing unto the Lord. He has done excellent things for you that's known in the earth. Look at verse 5 in Isaiah 12, 1 and 5 down to 5. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out, brother, sister, I'm crying out. I'm shouting with glory. Thou inhabitants of Zion. Zion is a place of worship. And we're in a place of worship, God. Yeah, shall come the more. Jesus, fill the hearts of those on this line, oh God. Fill them up, oh God. Renewing them a clean heart and a right mind, oh God. Restore their joy in that latter year of rain blessing. It's called latter rain blessings, God. Pour it out on them in the name of Jesus. Where's my mountain? Ah, God, you promised that if we hold on and trust you, you would bless us. So we're holding on to the end to see what it's going to be like, because we trust you. Oh, marvelous taste and see how good it is, the word of God. For great is the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. In the midst of thee, in the midst of who you are right now, his presence is reigning all around you. And I just want you to know, I thank God for each one of you. Hallelujah. Page 4, I only got a few more minutes. Page 4, Jesus discerns. Jesus knows. He's given you to know. He's filled your hearts to know. Have faith, he said. Have faith to believe that I am your God, that I'll see you through. On page 4, and that's on page 114 in the book, he tells us that his yoke, he references it's finished, but then he later on, he says that with him is the glory, the institution of the Holy Communion. He's taught us that, and he's now telling us that we are seated with him in glory. That's on page, I didn't put the scripture in there, but we go to Matthew, he is risen out of the grave, that we are seated with him in glory. God says, I'm the Redeemer, the angel. Matthew 25 and 7 says, Jesus died and is risen for you and I. The angel answered and said unto the woman, fear you not, for I know that you seek Jesus. Keep seeking the more of Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep searching for him. Keep believing. Keep knowing that, God has a way of knowing all things. God bless you, Sister Kathy. Know that God works it all out for his glory. Come unto me, all that labor. Wigglesworth talks about this. He says that don't get stuck on the cross. Turn it over to Jesus. Believe that his word will do what he said it would do. Believe it. Believe that, that this word, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. She says in verse 27, all things were delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son. And he's whosoever soever the Son will reveal. So God reveals himself to you and I. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. To whomsoever the Son will reveal. God will reveal his presence to you through his word, through his voice. For his sheep know his word. His sheep hear his word. They hear his calling. His sheep walk by faith and not by sight. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's why we have to rest in the Lord. I'm still learning how to do that. That'll probably be a challenge for me the rest of my life. Just being able to, Lord, transform me to just rest in your name, in your presence. Take upon my yoke and learn of me. Lord, help me to learn. Help us to learn, every one of us on this prayer line, on this class. Oh God, help us to learn of your word, that seed, that faith, your word, God. And he says, Jesus died and arisen for you and me. Number A there, Matthew 28, 5 and 7. And the angel answered again. He says, for I know who you seek. We go down to number 2, where it says, it's a little off-centered there, but it says the redeeming God. God redeeming power saves us from the dead. Isaiah 40, 44 and 6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. And his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am first, I am the last. Remember he said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Beside me there's none other. In whom you have redemption. And so Wigglesworth is telling us this redeeming power that's healing, that's delivering, that's setting people free, that's restoring and opening blind eyes and ears that can't hear, and restoring body parts and visions. Deliverance and the tomb was being healed and delivered, shrunken and cast out of people. Club hands and feet, crooked arms and withered hands are straightened out by the power of his word. If you can believe, I do this that you may know. In whom we have redemption, for it is through the blood. The only, if Jesus had just died and not been crucified, I don't believe we'd have had a resurrected Savior. Because he had to bleed. Because back in the Old Testament, in Genesis, because of the sin of man, the first thing he did was make a sacrifice. He took one of his animals to cover Adam and Eve's sin, the blood. He knew that man was going to fall short of the glory of God, that he gave us to step on the adder's head. That's the snake. That's the wickedness in our mind. That's the enmity against the mind of God is us. But he's given us this redemption power to forgive according to his riches. There's a scripture said, according to the riches of his glory, that's within you. And the riches of his glory, that's within you. His word is in you. Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified all the day with Christ. Remember I said early on, to be with Christ means to die with Christ, die in Christ, to be born again, to be a new creature, to reign with Christ means you're going to suffer. Well, here's part of that. Galatians 2 and 20, I'm crucified with Christ. It's Paul teaching, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In other words, the word of God is alive in you. And the life, the word of God is life. The word of Jesus brings life. The word of Jesus, the word of God brings light. The Holy Spirit brings light and life and joy and strength and covers us. And life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by the word of the Son of God. I want to read that again. Look at verses 20, where it says, which I now live in the flesh. I live in this flesh, God. But now, because I've been transformed by the renewing of our minds, we have been transformed. I want you to know that which now I live in this fleshly tent, but I live by the word, by the faith, by the word, by the faith, by the seed, by the faith of God's word, who is the Son of God. I live by the faith that became flesh, which was the word that became flesh. It is the seed that I believe that's the strongest seed in the earth. It is the word of God. And because I believe it, and he who loved me and gave himself for me will not leave me or forsake me. That's what kind of God you serve. And he wants us to believe that. So when you start talking about healing and deliverance, you can come to that place of going to page 5 where it says God's word is true and direct to place. And then he directs them. It says God's word is true. And he directs them to the place for the Last Supper. He's giving us an example that everything that Jesus spoke, he spoke us a word for us in the Bible to be able to believe that whatever God speaks to you and he tells you to do something, be sure to do it. He said, go over here and go over there. He says, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations. And they were like, go where? Where do you want us to go? We sound like little children. What do you want me to do? And they replied, as he entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say unto the owner of the house, the teacher, the master, the rabbi, say to people that the Lord sent me to give you a word. Or just quietly say, I just got a word for you. Or just pray for them. You don't have to say anything all the time, because when you're in the presence of God, he'll give you what to say. Don't figure it out. Let God guide you. For his word is a compass. It's a lamp unto your feet. Until he's, God's everything that you need. We got GPS system, but it's the gospel positioning system. God places you where he wants you to go. For his easy, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He knows how much you can bear. But he tells us in this story that Smith Wiggles wants us to learn that God's word is true, that God's word will accomplish what he sent it to do. And so we find in Luke the love of God, the word of God lives today. And it go down to number D, says Luke 22:14. If anybody wants to read that, this will be, we'll close out on this note. In the words of Jesus, we'll close out on that. And those two little last notes, and since we started at 3:07, if you don't mind going over just a little bit, I just want you to know that the word of God lives. Anybody want to read Luke 22:14-19? Can I get a volunteer?
And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat with this, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.
Amen. Amen. This cup is a new covenant. The blood of Jesus, that's what gives us the grace of God in the New Testament, is Jesus, his word. His word is being fulfilled. His word is being remembered every time we take something to drink. Every time you sit down, bless your food. Remember that everything that you have, you've been blessed with, is by the favor of God. He gives us power to have wealth. He makes provisions for us. He gives us things that we don't even deserve. And he saves us from things that we do deserve. Amen. So the word of Jesus is life. Never think that they are less. Number E, if you believe, you will be quickened. You will feel quickened. If you believe the word is powerful, it is full of faith. That's That's what I hope you got out of this lesson today, that the hour is now. The word of God is vital. Listen to the word. Did it not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it? Hebrews 4:2. There has to be a hearing in order to have faith. You got to hear God. You got to have a mind that wants and a heart that's searching for the more of God. Beloved, read the word, number F. Read the word of God in quietude. Read it aloud sometimes to yourself. For he who hears my word, that's John 5:24, to him it gives life. Listen with fervent. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Because God hears your words. God hears your prayers, and your prayers are words. They're seeds of thoughts. They're seeds that God has given you to plant. For you are the farmer. You're the spread, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that he died and arose again for you and I, that we can have this gift called the gift of salvation, a gift of eternal life, that we can lead others to know that there is a heaven and a hell, that lead people to want to know more about our Jesus. He speaks from the beginning of time. There's never been an hour like these. These words were among the greatest that he ever spoke. The hour has come. What an hour, for the end of time had come, the end of his time, but the beginning of a new day. Brothers and sisters, I say to you in this lesson, God is doing something new to each one of you. And I repeat, for the redemption of the cross and the shedding of the blood, for that reason, we're seeing suffering in our world that we have never seen before, but God is still on the throne. His word is alive in each one of you. God says on page 6, I think I printed it. He says, and desire the Passover. For I tell you, I will not eat again until we read that. And so it was down at F, and that concludes the lesson. What are you asking God for? He is your Redeemer. He's your Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's all that we ever need. And God, I thank you for this lesson. I thank you for those that are listening. I pray that those that are listening on Facebook can hear what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the parable of the seed, that the mustard seed is the smallest seed in the world, but it grows to be the largest plant in the garden. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for helping us to understand, to illuminate this word. Heal our bodies, deliver our minds, oh God. Heal each member that's on this call, God. I thank you for Brother Clarence, and I thank you for Sister Willa May. I thank you for Sister Charlie May Sister Ross. I thank you for Sister Emma Scott. Thank you for Sister Willam A. Taylor, thank you for my lovely wife, Jennifer. Thank you for James Young. Thank you for the minister, Kathy Williams, who's not with us right now. To all the others had been on and off at times, but I thank you. I thank God for each one of these vessels. People of God have a desire, thirsting for the more. I thank you for the challenge that they gave me to dig deeper and to go further into the next 10 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it is, God. Let us give our best for you, that you'll be glorified and exalted. God, we thank you. I asked anyone if you have any closing thoughts or want to share anything that you may have heard the Holy Spirit share with you, or any words that you may want to give to somebody else that's listening. Amen. If you're listening and people that are listening on Facebook, if you don't have it, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, we offer Jesus to you. All you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he arose on the third day. Confess it, believing in your heart that he is the Son of God. And by his grace, you're saved. And so you can write us at AJS Ministry, AJSministry.net. You can send a prayer request. And we thank God for all of you for joining us. God bless you all. It's 3:16. We got on at 2:07. God bless you. Praise God for you. Any questions during the week, please don't hesitate to call me. Thank you, Sister Willamette, for calling me to let me know. I don't know what's going on that you can't open my emails when I send them, but I'll try to figure out what that is. Maybe just because it's a Zoom link through the Google. It opens. Could you open the picture, the flyer?
What I did is I went and pulled it up on my tablet and sent it back and then made copies. So I don't know what I did.
Is that Sister Emma? Who's that talking?
That was Sister Willie Mae.
That's Sister Willie Mae. Okay. I see the light flashing around the number, the 8059 number. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you all sound a little alike. Sisters. Praise God. Well, thank you. I love you with the love of Jesus. Anything y'all can do about it, but spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and the peace of God be with everybody. Until we meet again next week. If you have time to join us this Thursday, we have a wonderful young man who is going to be preaching and bringing the word Thursday on the podcast. And I'll make sure that I'll send you guys the link to the podcast, but I'll also send you the link and the newsletter. It's called my blog letter, my wife and I's blog letter, AJS Ministry blog page. And once you get that, you can click and go back to every week that we've had class that I have the recordings attached to. So God bless you. There were a couple of weeks that we didn't get recorded because of technical problems. But God bless everybody. Take care. Be safe. Stay safe. I know they say you don't have to wear a mask, but you're around strange people out in public, especially crowds. Please put a mask on, even though you may have gotten the vaccine. Just be safe. Encourage everybody else to take. Sorry if there are a few mistakes in my typos. Overlook them. Forgive me. I'll try to get better. Amen. God bless everybody. Peace of God be with you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
See you next week.
Next week. Amen. Thank you.